Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash. But the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming. Greetings, trashlings. Welcome back to a special White Lotus finale episode of Space Trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus. And we have some action going on in London there with our co-host, LOL.
I don't know what's happening. The directive...
Yeah, there was like a large bang.
Yeah, the directive was less noise, but I guess we're fighting back. The Sussex squadron of the McDade-Mulshine household is fighting back. And I'm just over here, like William and Kate, trying not to hug anyone.
And here I am just noticing every little noise and making it a thing. That's not right.
No, it is. By the way, everyone check out our Patreon from yesterday or today, patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast to hear us talking about Meghan and Harry, the first three episodes of Harry and Meghan.
2 hours of Hawkle exclusive just for you on the Patreon.
We're talking, like I said, about White Lotus finale today, but I also thought of something that I didn't mention that I really liked about Meghan before she joined and left the royal family. There was this rumor that when she got cast on Suits, because it was her big break and a big payday that she had, the likes of which she had not seen before, she had a party called the Sayonara Zara party where she gave away all of her cheap clothes to her friends.
Okay, first of all, I love that. And more than even just the sentiment, you know, I love a good rhyme.
I love it. I mean, this is the kind of...
That's a very cool move.
Yeah, this is the girl I want to see on the TV screen. Obviously, she doesn't owe me anything, but I mean, these are the hints of...
Meghan, Molly wants something a little different.
I know, these are the hints of humanity that don't come across to me, that do come, but...
But see, that's what I thought the documentary did show, where I was like, oh, she's just like a gal.
Yeah, the parts where she was having fun with her friends. Yeah, I love those parts. Whatever. Listen to the Patreon if you want to hear our unbridled thoughts on that. So.
Absolutely.
White Lotus. Obviously, this is going to be rife with spoilers. Did you think Tanya was going to bite the dust? Or bite the Ionian Sea, as it were?
Right. I also had to go. I'm like, what is the Ionian Sea? I love that name for a sea. And honestly, let's write some scripts for Sicily. Mm-hmm. I'm in. A beautiful island landscape with a criminal undertone. Fabulous. Yeah. I did. Okay. So yeah. Spoiler alert. If you haven't, I guess we already just blew it. Tanya dies. But But if you don't want to know more, stop listening now and just go to the Patreon.
Everyone kind of knew this was coming, right?
Yeah, right. Well, so, like, the reason that I started to... Like, I think the last two episodes... With the Madame Butterfly opera foreshadow and then the, like, she dies. That was sort of like the, oh, okay, they're, like... You know, because these shows tend to plant, like, Easter eggs along the way, which I didn't actually even think this was much of an Easter egg because it was, like, it almost seemed like such an obvious foreshadow that it was, like, oh, it's not going to be Tanya. But it also was, like, how is she not going to, like, what is the resolution of her story other than to die? Right. And I also know that, like, in season one, she makes that comment where it's like, the only thing I haven't experienced is death. Right. So it's kind of like,
do you know what ruined it for me? Well, not ruined it, but was almost too much of an Easter egg. When they go, when Portia and the DeGrassos go to the Godfather house, which, I mean, what a miserable family. They were in the most beautiful vacation and they were so mean to the grandfather. It made me so sad, just repeatedly being like, stop farting. And it's like, he's 80. But anyway, they were at the Godfather house, and they're talking about how Michael Corleone's first wife, the car blows up, and the mannequin in the car is wearing the same dress that Jennifer Coolidge is wearing in the final episode. And, like, I guess she's worn that dress in other parts of the series as well. So, like, someone had put up this thing that was like, oh, it's obviously going to be her. And I saw that and I was like, oh, well, now I know.
I was going to say, did you notice that yourself or what?
No, yeah,
that,
I was
like,
pointed
something
out.
That. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because it's like, that is where, like, if you're the original finder of the Easter egg, it, you know, in Judaism, we would call it the finder of the afikomen. It's when you hide a little piece of the matzah on Passover and, like, you're the winner chicken dinner. Like, I feel like that's where it becomes, like, really fun when you're like, ah, but yeah, like, it's like once you read something like that, it's sort of like, oh, yeah, that's like, what it thanks. Is.
I also wouldn't have been able to restrain myself from posting about it, but.
No, I mean, gets all the clicks, I'm sure. If I didn't speed watch this from between yesterday and today, that's all I did. After we finished, I was like, all right, I'll just get into it because I didn't really watch any of it. And then I just watched the entire thing since we left.
Oh, my God, the whole thing? Oh, my God.
The whole thing, top to bottom.
What a journey.
You know, it's funny. This show, it was a journey, but you know what it is? It's like, for some reason, White Lotus, like, unless we were going to podcast about it today, I will say that, like, the first, and I felt this way about Enlightened too, Mike's other season. What's his name? The show. I felt the way about Enlightened too, which is like, okay, I obviously like the writing. I obviously think this is like, you know, it has all the makings of a good show, but it's a little slow. Like, I didn't think, I thought sort of until maybe the like fifth episode, I wasn't like fully in. I was like a little bit bored. I was like, I don't know if I have enough stake in these people that I
care. Did you watch season one?
Like, I watched it, but I didn't watch it with like, I should give it another go. Same kind of vibe though. It's like, I wasn't so interested. Like, there's something about, like, because this show does have a very, it is the HBO sort of like formula when it's not like sci-fi or something, or, you know, where, but it's just like these very wealthy people that have these aspirational lives. But then, like, as you sort of get to know each one, you're like, I wish I was them. And then you're like, oh my God, no, they're fucked up. Yeah. I wish I was
them.
This is
my bread and butter.
Same as Succession.
This is my bread and butter as a human. Yeah. This is all I want to watch is fucked up rich people doing stuff. It's because I'm a Capricorn. And I also really like how, with HBO shows, or the ones I like at least, it's really more character driven than plot driven. It's just people having weird interactions, and you can just dive into the nitty gritty of why did they do that. And Mad Men is not HBO, but it's another one of those. Like, and that's why I can't get into shows like Suits, like, and other ones like that, where there's no subtext and it's just kind of like people doing things like Sims, you know, like the Lindsay Lohan Christmas Carol. But this, like, I need that sort of weird awkwardness to just sort of like sink your teeth into. And that's why I loved this show. And it fills a hole that Mad Men and The Sopranos have left behind for me.
Yeah, like, I will say that once I committed to it and got into it, I thought, I mean, this is where when we're talking about, like, we were talking about it with Olivia Wilde too, like, what this does best, like, above all, is like world building. Where you, after a few episodes, I was like, all right, should I stop and just like finish the Patreon and post it? And then I was like, I can't. Yeah. Like, that's why it's not up yet. Cause I was like, well, no, like, now I'm in. Yeah. And like, you know, you get to sort of like vacation along with them. If you truly binge it, it's like, well, how I'm on the vacation now. How could I break up my vacation?
I did like this season more because the last one, while I did really like what they did with sort of like the racist, anti-racist revenge plot, it was really interesting. But it also, I mean, I'm just maxed out. I'm maxed out on like who's a colonialist, who's not a colonialist. It makes, because I'm a white person and it makes me feel bad. So whatever, I don't like it. So this one was just people having sex and ruining each other's lives. And I'm like, okay, I can feel a little bit less guilty about these people fucking each other over, you know? Although,
that said, it is kind of interesting. It's an all white, this one is all white. I mean, are there any non-white cast members?
Well, Aubrey Plaza and Ethan, they were supposed to both be sort of like mixed race.
Right, Ethan is mixed of some kind. Aubrey, I don't know if she actually is, but she's sort of like dark haired white.
She's half Puerto Rican. Of course, there are white Puerto Rican people. But she says in the in like the first episode, she's like, oh, we're their white passing diverse friends. So they're both right. sort of.
Okay, yeah. So they were the diverse.
Yeah. But yeah, I liked how this one, the Mike White, the showrunner and creator, he says at the end of it on the HBO version of it, which they don't have HBO here, as I've said before. So I had to watch with a VPN to get the little special thing at the end. But he says the first season was about class and money. The second season was about death. And the third is going to be about Eastern religion. Or the second was about sex. And the third is going to be about Eastern religion and death. So, like, yeah, they're going to, I guess they're going to go to Asia. So, but yeah, I thought it was very clear that none of the, I got very bored of the storyline of the two couples by the end. Especially right. Ethan and Harper. Like, Aubrey Plaza and her husband. I'm so sorry. They just got boring. I was like, come on. But I think the one thing that I rewatched it, because I watched it at 7 a.m. this morning because I had to get on. I watched it on my phone while I was like getting ready for work because I have to go on social media for work. So I was like, this is going to be ruined. I have to watch it. And I have to probably write about it.
Oh, true.
Yeah. So I watched it on my phone, which is blasphemy, but I had to. But so I didn't notice, like, on my rewatch tonight before we talked about it, I noticed how there's a possibility that Aubrey Plaza didn't even make out with Cameron.
Well, I think that is the big question. The big question is,
did they do more did they do less?
Did they? Right, right. And at the same time, did Daphne take Ethan and give him, right. like, did they do right. anything?
The creator says at the end and of the thing, he doesn't know.
Well, and I think that is the point that they were going for, that, like, at the end of the day, you know, every marriage has its own language and its own, like, set of boundaries and structures that everybody, like, you get the sense from the Daphne and Cameron relationship that actually, whatever sadness is also there behind her gorgeous little button nose mm-hmm. face eyes or whatever, that, like, they're happy and, like, that their relationship works for them. And that even though Ethan and Harper technically on paper had more of what we might agree to be, like, the values of marriage, like, we don't lie to each other and, like, we totally trust each other, that there was something about the journey of not trusting each other that actually brought that, like, even if it was fiction of jealousy and the decision to actually remain in the relationship, even if you'll never know the truth either way. Cause once your trust is broken, it's hard to get back no matter what anybody says or does or whatever's proven. And so it sort of is like this, I think this larger the conversation about marriage, which is like at the end of the day, like, the choice has already been made and it's that you're together and really figuring out how to return to each other is actually the work of marriage rather than like any sort of idealized perfection, because technically Harper and Ethan did have that, but they also weren't fucking and they weren't right. that into
and
each
like
other.
Daphne and Cameron, they don't trust each other. They just don't. They've just decided, you know, like they trust each other to
they
be with
well, they
each
trust
other,
that they love
yeah,
each
but
other.
They don't trust each other right. not to cheat on each other. They've just let that go completely out the window. And what's interesting, too, with yep. those two couples is, like, Daphne and Cameron are kind of supposed to be, like, when you first meet them, you think they're the more traditional ones. They're, like, the wife who just stays at home and, like, loves, dotes on her kids and doesn't read the news, and the husband who's this alpha male. But it turns out they're actually, like, poly. Like, they've kind of got, right. like, an unspoken
Literally.
Polycule. And then, like, Ethan and Harper, they think they're so progressive and forward-thinking, and they're so in touch with the world, which also that scene cracked me up when she's kind of shaming them for not reading the news. And it's like, well, you're both on the same rich asshole vacation. Like, you're both dropping insane amounts of money on leisure. Like, no matter how much anxiety you're giving yourself by reading the news, you're still just as bad as these people. But, like, they think...
Right. Well, and not to mention that they're not reading the news, they were objectively happier.
Right. Exactly. And because I say this as a journalist, we have too much news. The news all needs to slow down. Like, we need to have more time to make better right. news, and people need to have more time to not be taking in other people's trauma all the time. Like, it's at a breakneck right. pace. But, like, it's just.
And it is showing the fear that it creates is real. Yeah.
And like Ethan and Harper are the old fogies, actually, for as progressive as they think they are. They are like living, they have the bedroom of an 85-year-old couple. So,
right, they're like, okay.
Yeah, boomers. And but then when you also scratch the surface even more, you're like, okay, actually, like, rich people swinging has been a thing since the dawn of time, especially, like, rich alpha males. And this, the idea that, like, a rich couple would actually be fully monogamous is also kind of a new invention of the last, like, 30 years, maybe. You know, it's just that, you know, you never talk about that, but... but yeah, they were interesting.
Well, and the the element too of, you know, that I think the arc for Harper partially was that she sort of saw Daphne as this like sort of idiot that was getting taken advantage mm-hmm. of and had all these judgments. And then it's like, she finally had to tell her, like, I think something happened. Daphne's response is ever, I mean, I feel like Daphne low-key is like the actual true protagonist of show in the end, which you don't think. You think she's like sort of the bimbo side character, but by the end it's like actually her life philosophy is she actually ends up being possibly the wisest of anyone there. And because it's like she does actually, she's not some idiot that's getting cheated on or whatever. She's actually playing the game too. And I think there's what we think is like this like poor housewife who's getting cheated on sort of impression at the beginning. By the end, it's actually really empowering of like, yeah, enjoy your marriage and have your fun. Like you're no victim.
She is. Let's get into the signs. I say she's an Aquarius for sure.
Okay. So, yeah. So what we're going to do now is discuss each character and what sign we think that they most authentically represent. So you think Aquarius.
Yeah, I think she's detached. She's emotionless. And I think she's pulling the levers in the background. Like when she was like, oh, we do this with each other. Like when she spirits Aubrey Plaza away to Nodo and she's like, we do this all the time. We're always playing these games with each other. It's like, I don't think your husband's playing games with you. I just think he's a hornball perv. And you might think you're playing games together. And that's how you kind of like you perceive yourself to be enjoying what the marriage is. But like she is so cold and detached. So that's why I think she's an Aquarius. There's also a fan theory, and I don't know how much stock to actually put in this, but there's a theory that the kid is not his because she.
I think that was overt.
You think?
I thought that was
yeah. When
the point.
She's like, I have a trainer.
I thought that was the point of that
trainer who's blonde and blue eyed.
This blonde, blue eyed, big, like whatever. And then it's accidentally a picture of her kids who are these big blonde, blue eyed.
Yeah, but so many babies are blonde and blue eyed and become brunettes later in life. So that was why I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, but everything about a show is intentional. Like, there's no way that. Otherwise, that scene would have been a total throwaway.
But I also think this could be her way of torturing him. Like, she said she likes playing games with him and torturing him. She went and stayed in Nodo not to cheat on him, just to keep him on his toes, you know? So, like...
Yeah, but I also got a sense from, like, sort of their foreplay after that Nodo trip and once Harper had sort of accidentally, because of the condom, exposed everybody, I got the sense that whether they're telling each other everything that they do or not, that they have that part of their foreplay, like, part of the... They were kind of playing that, like, what did you do? What did you do? Like, jealous, sort of, a little bit of, like, a cuckoldy thing. Not overt, like, in terms of, like, I'm going to watch some big black guy fuck you. But, like, with this energy of, like, you're a bad girl and I was a bad boy. And, like, you know, they sort of are getting off on the jealousy.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I don't think he's jealous of her, though. See, that's why I think he's a Sagittarius.
Yeah, but I don't think she's jealous of him either.
I think it does hurt her a little bit. But she's built a shell around that pain so that she can't access it anymore. Like someone posted, I forget what meme account today, it was like her when Cameron is telling her, I think something happened between our two spouses, and she makes this face and someone was like, oh, she's in so much pain. And I was like, yeah, I don't think she's in pain. I think if anything, she'd be in pain because she'd be like, why would Harper do that to me? And I don't think Harper would do that to her. So that's why I think Harper was almost lying just to get a rise out of Ethan, because...
I think she totally – I think maybe they shared a kiss because he did, like, touch her leg under the – Cameron did touch her leg under the table, and that was sort of the breakthrough between Cameron and Ethan when it was like, okay, every time that I like someone, you have to sleep with them. So I got the sense that, like, it is possible that Cameron would try to kiss her.
He showed, you know? Hog. in like episode one.
Was that real? Was that real?
No, I think they all use prosthetics, which is bullshit because women don't get to use prosthetic boobs. They can use prosthetic. You use body doubles. Women do, and I think guys. But yeah, I think usually guys they put a little sleeve on there. Yeah.
Lol.
So great. What do you think her sign is?
So I have many notes because what to me part of what the show sort of did was like set us up to think that these characters are one way, and then right we kind of got their deeper emotional world. So I was kind of thinking like, well, maybe sun and moon, but okay, like in general, if I was just gonna give, what did I come to? Because by the end I had different things than when I started. Okay, so with what's her name?
Daphne.
Daphne. I actually had her as a Libra.
Hmm.
I thought that he's an Aries, she's a Libra, and that they made up this very typical dynamic between Aries and Libra, which is like ultimately it all is for each other. And like even in this ways that he is like selfish and cheating or whatever, she as I thought it was like she's it sort of embodying this Libra archetype, which is like, okay, even if that doesn't like isn't what like I ideally would have wanted, whatever actually keeps this relationship together, I'm down with, and I can sort of adjust to knowing who you are and being the wife that you need. And I also thought that, again, with him even as an Aries, it's like, whatever you want to say about his cheating, he was the most, like, in terms of what he was actually, and I think that was sort of her point, in terms of what he was actually giving her functionally, like, in real time, what she received from him in the relationship is like tons of affection and sex and romance and love. So I think that that is sort of, to me, the Libra Aries axis being played out in that relationship, where he is this like sort of hothead party. But I thought for him, either he was a Libra or a Sag. I mean, a Libra or a Leo. No, sorry. I thought for him he was either an Aries or a Leo.
Oh, a Leo.
Because either way, he's like down to play. Yeah. He just wants to be the center of attention. He wants to just be having hot fire fun. He just wants to be kind of like, you know, the big dog.
That's why I thought he was Sag.
But, yeah, like I could see, that was one of my possibilities for him. But ultimately, the reason that I didn't fully get Sag from him is because you get the sense that he's just not that. Like, I do think Sagittarius energy, for better or worse, does tend to be fairly deep. Like, there is sort of more of a, like, I think the reason that there was contention between Ethan and Cameron, even for their whole relationship, is because Cameron also is insecure, which I don't think, like, I don't think a Sag would be affected by somebody saying, like, I don't think a Sag would have that thing that Ethan describes, what is like mimicry attraction or something.
Mimetic,
like,
I think a Sag
feels, even though Sages can be cheaters, and I have a few things of who I think could be Sagittarius here, I sort of feel like Cameron is just more basic. There's an element, and that he's so expressive in his love. I don't know. I thought either Aries.
Yeah, I think Aries, but now me, more so now that you're saying that. I always forget about Aries.
I think they're Aries Libra.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that. I still think she does.
That's really funny also because your mother's an Aries.
I know. I always forget them. Okay, hilarious. So I think we've nailed them. What do you think Harper and Ethan are?
So Harper was one where only towards the end did I have a maybe she's something else, but I thought squarely Harper Virgo. Harper is a Virgo to me.
Okay.
Hardcore. I thought maybe Capricorn by the end, but no, I think she is a super duper Virgo. Just nitpicky, perfectionist,
so
in her
nitpicky.
Head, rigid but righteous.
Obsessed with the rules of the relationship to the point where, like, I don't know. It was just so much equivocating. And also, like, I don't know. Yeah, Virgo makes complete sense. We don't need to belabor the point. I think that works. What about Ethan?
So, Ethan, I went back and forth with. There were three that came up to me where I was like, okay, I could make a case for these. I could make a case for Taurus.
Why?
Which would have them. Because ultimately he is reliable. He was focused on his money. He slowly worked to build the business. He doesn't really want to. Like, he does what he can to, like, avoid fighting or getting into shit with people, but, like, ultimately what he is stable, sturdy, and, you know, kind of, and also, you know, very much not passive, but sort
we
of
like
he
we like to party, Taurus.
True. I mean, the other two signs that I had him as potentially were either, I thought he was either a Taurus, Cancer,
or I think
Scorpio.
He's a Cancer, for sure. That's what I think, because I think okay. He's so closed into his little shell, his little porn-addled shell. He's
right.
Got Bukkake posters all over the walls, and he's not coming out. And not for anything. Not even for, Harper already told him that Cameron showed Hog. And he was like, oh, really? Wow, that's crazy. I'm going to go for a run and watch some porn. Like, what? That's crazy. Right. You know? And, like, I think, I don't know what his deal is, why he was so like that. Like, I don't know if it's because he was working too hard, but that's bullshit. Everyone's working hard. She's a lawyer, and she's not, you know, doing shit like that. So, yeah, I think he was Cancer. He was very, like, prickly also, like, he lied to her about the fact that he did kiss one of the prostitutes. He kissed Mia. Like, you let it go on for a second. And you don't have to let it go on for a second when someone tries to kiss you. You can push them off immediately. Like, yes, granted, he was on Molly. He didn't even say to her, she tried to kiss me. He just was like, yeah, no, nothing happened. And then he got so mad at her. So, like, and he was like, I know,
right.
I know you're lying, blah, blah, blah. Like, he didn't know she was lying. I don't know. He was so in a shell. He was so completely impenetrable. So that was why I think he's a Cancer.
Yeah, like, I thought Cancer because it's like he clearly is, like, deeply feeling and, you know, wanted to sort of feel in control and, like, he was safe in his relationship, but then also still even within the relationship be, like, hiding in the relationship on some level. Or
and that freaking
right.
Hairdo. That hairdo. Tell me that's not a defense mechanism to be walking around like 1962 Paul McCartney. No.
Right.
And he
right.
looks really good. Without the hair.
Yeah, he is. But I thought, yeah, it was sort of like the confidence of a casual new billionaire where he's like, yeah, I can have the haircut of an 11-year-old, you know, or whatever. But the other thing, though, is that, like, the reason I thought Taurus, Scorpio, Axis on some level is because so much of the story between not only him and himself, him and his wife, but also him and Cameron was about, like, money and power and, like, who is the, like, big dog? Who is the more powerful one? So that's where the Taurus Scorpio came in. But Cancer was on my list, too. And I would guess, if anything, maybe those are his
big... Yeah, and I feel like he's probably never concerned about being the big dog when he's not around Cameron.
Right.
I also...
Like, I don't think he's... I don't get the sense that he's insecure other than when his, like... And actually, I don't think he was insecure around Cameron without his wife's reflection of, which is also, though, where I could sort of see him being a Taurus, too, because it's like, yeah, Taurus liked to party, but, like, he clearly partied, but, like, he also, how do I put it, like, he really didn't want to see the things he didn't want to see until then he had to. Like, he had to basically be... like, reminded over and over by his wife, like, or not even reminded, like, it needs to be brought to his attention, like, hey, this guy's an asshole. I guess that could also be Cancer, too, though, just kind of wanting things to be comfortable the way you know them. So, yeah, to me, like, Cancer Taurus would be what I would think of.
Yeah. Okay, how about Tanya? I know you're going to agree with me. I already have planted my flag in the sand here, and I know you're going to agree with me completely. Pisces.
Should we say it the same?
Yes.
Pisces. She's obviously a Pisces. But then I was like, when I was getting into it, I was like, Pisces, but then I think Cancer.
Okay. Well, let's explain the Pisces for people, just in case people don't know. Pisces, we always say emo, oblivious, completely wrapped.
Fantasyland.
Wrapped up in their own emotional world. The only time she was happy in the show was when she was pretending to be Monica Vitti and when she was getting worshipped by the gays. And, like, hi,
right.
Pisces rising, I relate completely. Like, and
totally.
She's so up her own ass with her fantasy world. She doesn't even know how good her life is. Because if she did, she never would have married Greg, a closeted guy who, well, actually, maybe he's not closeted. Maybe he's bisexual. He did seem really into her when he met her in Maui. But, like, I just don't think, she has no idea how good she has it. This is two vacations in a row where she was a complete sad sap the entire time. in the lap of luxury, just being crying nonstop and pulling other people into her pit of sadness. Then she dies in the water like a fish, and her wardrobe was Pisces. Her wardrobe was flowy.
Totally.
Oh, great casting, great job. I mean, the hair was Piscean, even like the Little Mermaid Bardot bump in the back with the flowing curls. So what makes you think Cancer Moon?
Well, the thing that I started to think as the show went on is, and she had some great, very Pisces lines too, and the sort of like escapist tendencies were very Pisces. The only part about where Cancer Moon came in
because I was thinking this was a trauma response, because we learned in season one that like her dad was abusive or something. I don't know if I'm remembering it correctly, but the fact that she saw her assistant's new little boyfriend fling fucking his uncle and didn't say anything for like 2 days is like,
exactly.
Oh my God, you're so traumatized that you literally saw these alarm bells from miles away. The freaking photo of Greg that she doesn't do anything about for like a full day, just seeing these red flags everywhere and just being like, oh, that's a little weird, like that. And that's, right. I guess you're going to say that's Cancer Moon, because she's so protected from the whatever trauma she's had in her past that she literally cannot see trauma coming around the corner, because she just assumes it always is there.
Yeah, and I also got the sense, which is, I mean, it could also still be Pisces, but I got the sense that, like, right, she is unhappy in no matter what, you know, unless she is in her fantasy land, but she's not taking like a passive approach or just living 24/7 in a fantasy land. She's actually trying deeply to control the people around her. Like, I thought her controlling the assistant, like her just making Portia do what I say, come be near me. It is sort of very control. I thought there was a very controlling maternal, like abusive mother almost, like where it's like, I want to at least know that I can tell people what to do. Like, that ultimately was the only thing that sort of made her feel happy when she wasn't in her fantasy land. So I thought squarely a Pisces and maybe a Cancer moon.
When she said on the phone to Portia, you know, he was naked and stuff, and then goes, he was kind of fucking his uncle. That was the funniest
Oh my God.
Thing.
Such a great line.
Oh my God, I laughed so hard at that line, and the line, he's kind of fucking his uncle, like as if she'd be like, well,
it'd be amazing.
So funny. But one of my favorite things about this show and the writing on this show is the way that they consistently have the characters say things about other people that they're saying about themselves. And one of the things that she said in season one, she's like, I don't get along with women. You know, they're just so dramatic and they're so upset all the time. Like, I don't remember exactly what she said, but she was like full on describing herself. And then another thing that happened this episode, which we can use as a segue to the DeGrasso family, when Christopher Moltisanti, the dad, what is his name, Dominic, when he says to the son, how big of a mark are you? And it's like, bro, you're the one who's about to give 50 G's to the prostitute. Like, you are the one. Like, you're the mark. Your son is in cahoots with her to extract the money from you. It's so funny. And it's like, you've been a mark. Your marriage is imploding because you've done this so many times. Like, you're the mark, bro. Christopher would have kneecapped you if you were in The Sopranos.
Right. Yeah, okay, so we'll get to them in a mo. I guess the last thing I want to say about Tanya, the line, she had another line that I just thought was so Pisces and so funny, which was like, oh, I love how big your pupils are. what was that? They did Molly or something, but they did drugs. They were doing cocaine. They were doing all the blow. And then she's like, oh, I love this. Like, I love how big your pupils are. And he's like, well, thank you. You too. And she's like, oh, yeah. I just thought that was like such a – that's what I was like, yeah, she's
to
a Pisces.
Like, at her
Pisces.
Age, her stature in life, having all that money and your husband's out of town and literally someone just has to plop some cocaine in front of you and you're like, oh, okay. It's so funny and so Pisces. Like, they didn't even...
She's everything about her.
Didn't even need to twist her arm to blow lines all night and cheat on her husband.
Well, no, and I thought that also was a very Pisces thing, too, because the running thing about her is, like, she is always down to drink. So it's like she hated the fortune teller, but then she's like, the fortune teller's like, actually, I have a cocktail. She's like, great, let's have highballs or whatever. So, like, I thought she was a squarely Pisces. Yeah. Now, I am curious to see, okay, so on to the family of made men, the marked made men.
The whiny boys. They were so whiny. Oh, my God. They annoyed me, too, because I was just like, they never enjoyed themselves, not for a single minute of screen time, these three men. The father...
No, the son did. The son
did. Yeah, he enjoyed himself when he was getting duped. Yeah, by... Oh, and he tried to enjoy Portia. I forgot about that part. Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I thought the grandfather had, despite anybody being mean to him, I thought the grandfather had a great time.
That's true.
He
was letting it roll off
his back. I thought the grandfather was this... Yeah, he was a totally evolved, like... Don't sweat the small stuff kind of thing.
That's so true. Okay, what do you think their signs are? I haven't even thought about this for 3 seconds.
So, okay, I've thought a lot about this, and they are kind of hard for me to locate. But, okay, number one, I thought that the son, Albie, by the end of it – so, like, at first, because of the way they were talking about, like, what his role in the family was, I was like, okay, so – he's the peacemaker of the family. He's a nice boy. Like, I thought either Cancer or Libra, or a Cancer Sun, Libra Moon. But then after I saw all the scenes where he was like making love with Lucia, I was like, oh, he's a Scorpio. Because what he really wants in the end is, like, he'll go with the dark and dirty. He'll get the money for her. He'll be down for a prostitute. But what he really was looking for above all was just like, passion and to fall in love and to go all in with someone.
I know, and I feel so bad for him because, like, being a member of his generation is failing him horrifically. I mean, this is why, like, if you have a young, hot son, I don't know if you should send him to gender studies class. I don't know if you should, because this is how he ended up being duped, because he's like, oh, this woman's being exploited. Like, we need to stand up for her, blah, blah, blah. And then, like, not wanting to put the moves on Portia. But then Portia also was a dupe. You know, when he said, when Mike White, the show creator, is like, oh, this season's about sex. I thought this season was about who is the biggest mark of all. Who's getting the wool pulled over their eyes more than anyone else? Because they're all getting scams run on them. Even everyone. The freaking hotel manager is getting a scam run on her by the pianist who sucks ass. I mean, did they cast her for her terrible voice? They had to have.
So I actually was very curious about this because I thought, if she in real life, like, I wanted to know if this actress in real life actually considered herself.
Fancies,
like,
herself.
If she is, right, if she fancies herself a singer, this is the biggest break of her life, and this will be the first and last time she sings. Yeah, she wasn't good. It wasn't good. I guess maybe it was part of the plot because it sort of showed. Not only that she was totally passionate and it really wasn't about ego, she just loved to do it, but that also that I thought that the thing about Lucia and Mia, the two prostitutes, it's like what they will exchange sex for are different. Yeah. So, like, whereas Lucia, like, ultimately just, like, needed to make some money, wanted to make some money.
Yeah. All, she didn't need to. She just was she like, did. I want it. But yeah, that's she why she was so
she
awesome.
She got it. That's why she was so awesome. And then by the end, too, when they do the reveal of, like, the guy, Alessio or whatever, it's like, oh, no, he works at the hotel. They, like, high-five on the way out. Like, she totally conned everybody. She's the biggest, like, predator at this resort for sure. And she came out on top. Guys. But, like,
I could have done without Mia's storyline. I thought it was so dumb because I was like, you don't need to sleep with someone to become a pianist at a hotel bar. Like, you can probably just go to a slightly worse hotel and do it there. Like, she would have made no sense.
I mean,
sense
I guess I just
me.
Thought it was, I thought it was just sort of like her not desperation, but I thought it was sort of like juxtaposing, like, what women who feel like they don't have options will sell their bodies for, you know? And, like, and I thought the point of her story was basically to give the Valentina character.
Yeah. I also just don't think, I mean, I don't think that Mia or Lucia was in that desperate of a situation at any point. You know what I mean? Like, they seemed like they were doing this voluntarily for the fun of it. And like, they're probably going to grow out of it at some point and they're just going to look back at it and laugh, you know, like, and I don't know, I guess maybe Mia was just kind of, well, whatever. We need to get back to Albie, what his sign is.
Well, I think what it is that I think Mia wanted to sing. If that's where she's hanging out, that's what she wants to be doing there. And so she found a way to get her needs met in the way that they've chosen to do. But okay, yeah. So to me, I ended up landing on Albie's a Scorpio.
I could see that.
Also because he's sifting through all of the generational family karma and trauma. Like, he sort of is the bottom of this totem pole, where not only is he having to heal it on behalf of these men because it's finally being addressed among all of them, but also that, you know, he feels this bonded responsibility to be this sort of glue in his family, which I think in many ways only a Scorpio can carry that weight.
But yeah, I don't know, because he is so like outwardly mad at his dad for what his dad did. And I feel like a Scorpio thing would be a little bit more to put your head in the sand about that and ignore it and just let it manifest in a less healthy way rather than just confronting him about it repeatedly over dinner. You know what I mean? Like,
well, but I feel like he didn't fully confront him until later. And I felt like that was part of his arc, like, because that's why I thought at the beginning, like, oh, he's a Cancer Libra, because like, he is playing the role of like peacemaker, and like, he would have never missed the trip. And like, he wasn't at the beginning, he wasn't like overtly angry at his father.
I could see Cancer Libra. I mean, he's mothering Lucia. He is. He's like, you got to get out of this. Like, and his dad is so macho, and his grandfather is so macho, and he's not. He's a caretaker, and like like, I could see him being one of like sort of a more caretaker sign. He's a little boring though. Let's skip to his dad, the erstwhile Christopher Moltisanti, Dominic DiGrasso, Michael Imperioli. So many vowels. What do you think he was? He was, I mean, I love him so much.
I love him.
A sexy man, I feel.
I thought he was a Cancer.
What? Why?
Cancer men are actually, like, at their best, they're caretaking and mothering. But I actually find that a lot of Cancer men have like mommy stuff, have issues with women, have control issues, and are so emotional that they don't like I think that the Dom character, you know,
the idea of then a Cancer man is terrifying to me.
And I've dated a couple Cancer men, and they're so Cancer men are so moody. They're so emotional. And I think even though they're coming from this deeply sensitive, oftentimes wounded place, they don't really know what to do with those feelings. And that's where it can turn into like a sex addiction.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I mean, I think when people do have a sex addiction, a lot of time, not Cameron. I think Cameron literally just wants to get his rocks off with whoever will stand still long 100%, enough.
Yeah.
But I think
Cameron's not a sex addict. He's like a fire sign.
Whereas Dominic, I think he was searching out for, he does give the vibe, he was searching for connection with all these women. But yeah.
And then I thought, okay, well, maybe Scorpio. But it's like, I actually think, no, a Scorpio would get away with it. Like, a Scorpio wouldn't get busted that many times. The fact is, as I think the reason he read Cancer to me is because not only did it come down to him confronting his father about the effect that he had on his life, he did also end up like fathering his son and Lucia, and actually just ultimately giving them he caved, and in his mind it was because ultimately what he really wants is to be in his family unit that he's so nostalgic for,
with his mommy, his wife.
But
when they got chased away from the town in Sicily by the three moms who were like, you know, they are getting spurned and used by every woman. It's hilarious. And like, it's so funny because they see right through them. Like, I mean, I think the women that chase them away from their property, they're like, we could tell you're just Americans looking to somehow get some sort of cheap fulfillment from pretending you're at Epcot. And we don't want anything to do with it. Like, we have nothing to talk to you about. Like, go away. So they are.
Well, and I love that. I thought that scene was also so perfect because it really just showed how stupid they were. Like, the idiocy of three English-speaking men showing up at like, in deep Sicily, like, hello,
right.
We are your family. It's like, they don't speak English. Like, at least they should have welcomed Lucia's company. They're like, great, you could be our trade. To not have the foresight to think, oh, yeah. We're going to need a translator or else it's going to be incredibly scary to these women is so, like,
yeah. Duh. I think also like, Dominic is... I was shocked that he caved and gave him the money. Like, what are you thinking? Why would you ever do? And it was just fully to get the mom back. And do you think that the son is even going to try to help get the mom back? I don't know. I'm not convinced.
Yeah, I think he already did. I think he was telling the truth. And that's what the end. That's why at the end when she's like, look, I can't talk now, but like, call me when you get home. You get the sense that it's going to be. I get the sense that it's going to be okay. And that maybe. And like that's where they show at the end too, like the hot girl walking by the three of them where they're all obviously like checking her out. It's like, okay, so this is a family that is on a generational level afflicted with
chauvinism.
Sex addiction in whatever way. Yeah, like just they're programmed to see hot woman, look at hot woman, ogle hot woman, try to fuck hot woman. But I thought that the end there was sort of this... Like, because you see, like, Dominic turns, like, after she walks by, he, like, actually turns his body, faces his family, like, sort of, like, the body language is very different than from the beginning of the series, where he would have been more open to, like, oh. So I thought it was sort of giving us the impression that, okay, like, they're going to struggle with this, but the arc had, like, they're in a different place than they started, and they're all kind of in agreement, like, we don't want to be like that anymore, except for Grandpa, who's like, LOL, my wife's dead.
Grandpa is what? I don't even know. He was such a small little side character. I could see him being a Capricorn. He was darkly funny, and he was, like, in charge of his own, like, legacy in a big way. He knew where he had come from. He knew where he was now. And he's just, like, and he was very fatherly, I felt.
True. Yeah, I sort of, okay, so my notes, I got the impression... So I tried to, like, write down a line. If any line that they said, like, jumped out at me as, like, oh, that's, like, a very... So the one thing that... So Bert, the grandfather, says, like, I can't be responsible for anything I say. You know, like, I'm concussed. So to me, that was, like, oh, maybe he's... Like, to me, I got either, like, Gemini or Sagittarius because it's, like, everything is met with this sort of, like, Jove.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Feel lightness.
He has a Sagittarius vibe.
You know, like Sagittarius, like
I
it's like
Capricorn and, out and of the my thing ass, about, yeah.
Well, but Capricorn would make sense to me too, but it's like I sort of just feel like the thing about Sagittarius energy is that, you know, if we look at it's like Gemini is like asking the questions, Sagittarius is like the answers to those questions, but the truth is in many ways Gemini is more truthful than Sagittarius because Sagittarius, in its like coming to a conclusion about the truth, on some level is actually automatically lying because what Gemini reminds us of is the duality of everything. So there's sort of an element of Sagittarius in the grandfather to me because not only was he like his version of the truth was enough for him. Like, where he had the conversation with Dominic and he's like, no, like, I had a great marriage. And it's like, no, mom, you cheated on mom and everybody knew and mom was bitter. And he's like, no, we loved each other.
Why does everyone?
And it was like actually as simple as that.
Why do all these people know about their parents cheating? This is not necessary. I don't think you should tell your child, even if you're the cheated on party. Just tell your friends. Get a therapist. I don't think it's right to bring your child into that. And it's so messy that all three of these generations knew all the other one's dirty laundry the entire time. Like, they're so enmeshed in such a creepy, unhelpful way. Like, your father and your grandfather should not know that you're running around the resort banging someone. You know, like, they should just – they should –
Well, but I think he – the reason that they had him doing that was because that was, I think, him sort of asserting his power. Like, oh, you guys think you are the, like, ladies' man. Well, like, get a taste of your own medicine. Now you're going to know who
I'm fucking. Right, but it's just symptomatic of how enmeshed they are because they
– Oh, they're totally enmeshed. This is like a family karmic, family generational. Well, that's why I also was kind of thinking, like, oh, if they all had – like, I could see them all having sort of similar – placements, whatever those placements are, because there's like there's a lesson that keeps needing to be learned that isn't being learned. But I sort of felt
for the dad and the son, they both have sex with the same girl within a day of each other. Like, that's because they both subconsciously knew that was going to happen because they're just so I don't know. They're like weirdly like hypersexual as a family, and they're not even like he knows that his dad has a history of sleeping with sex workers. That's what it seemed like. And
well, but I think he sincerely didn't think she I thought the moment where he was genuinely embarrassed and like thought that she just like he I thought what we saw from this Albie was like he went from being like genuinely like naive, trying to be the peacekeeper, forgives his dad, but it's not cool, his mom's hurt, to actually becoming kind of like he got his cojones by the end. Like he was like, actually, like I'm the man too, guys. And
he was he became Captain Save-A-Ho.
That's his superpower. He did.
I'm not making that up. That's a term. Don't get mad at me.
We love to see it. I think he was Captain Save-A-Ho. And he'd be proud to say it. But I don't think that it was that they were all talking about their illicit affairs. I think it's that this is why it's like I don't think Dom was a Scorpio or one of the more sort of can get away with shit air or fire signs. I thought he was a water sign because he wasn't getting away with shit. He was being super sloppy, super messy about these affairs to the point where the family just like had to know. Like everybody just knew.
Entire family.
And then it's like I didn't think that Bert, the grandfather – like, I don't think that he was, like, talking to his son about cheating. That's where that confrontation scene comes in, where Dom is like, hey, for the record, that's why, again, cancer, like, he's so enmeshed with the family and stuck in these stories of where he's like, the reason I am like this is because you were like this. And so you don't get the sense necessarily that the grandfather, while he was at least married to his mother, was like, cheating. It's like, because that was sort of a tender moment where he was like, for the record, like, everybody knows what you did, too. And the grandfather was like, no, they didn't. And it's like, okay, so that's why I get
lying?
You're a Sag because, well, I don't think either of them are lying. I think it's they're having totally different interpretations of like I think that's where Bert is a Sag because he's like, oh, your truth? No.
Right.
Like, and it's and he's just actually genuinely kind of light and jovial and like isn't that affected
maybe
by any of it.
Yeah. Okay, what about Lucia? I mean, I love her. She was the star for me. She looks exactly like every Italian girl I went to high school with on the Jersey Shore. Let's count to three and say what we think she is because I bet it's going to be the same. Okay?
Okay.
One, two, three. Gemini.
Leo. I thought Leo.
Okay.
Why do you think? I mean, I could see Gemini too. The three that I had listed were Gemini, Leo, Scorpio. And I was like, oh, maybe that's her big three. But I saw her as such a Leo. She just basically she was just performing the whole time.
Yeah, she was. That's why I thought she was a Gemini, because she was performing in these one-to-one performances with these different personas for every single person that she's talking to, from the receptionist to the dad to the son to the everyone. And, like, she knew exactly who to be. She knew exactly how to mirror everyone, even to the point of, like, there's this big debate going on social media of, like, how come she never took the John's money up front? It's because she knew how to get it in the end. And she knew that getting it up front would mean that they might run away because it's like an upscale place. And these people think that they might think, oh, I don't need to pay for it, blah, blah, blah. But she knows that she's just that good at her job that she's going to ensnare them. And then when she asks for the money, she's going to keep seeing them and she's going to get it. And also, she's doing this, I think, for the love of the game. She doesn't have a pimp. She's just like...
No, she does. Well, that was like bigger roommate. There is no pimp. Like, when you realize at the end that dude is her friend and they're like, bye. And then he works at the hotel and he has his little name tag. I was like, oh, she is. Yeah, she's like, she and Daphne to me were like the unsung heroes of, I mean, I guess she was sort of the overt hero, but like they were the heroes of the show.
Yeah, for sure. I can see Leo too, but actually,
I could see Gemini. Now that you say it though, I actually know what you're saying, right? Where it's like, she's basically just like switching the narrative real fast to ultimately game the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know the guy who played Jack? His name is Leo Woodall.
Okay, I thought Jack and Cameron were two of like the most physically beautiful men I've ever seen.
How do they do it?
I was so attracted to both of them. Like,
whoa. Absurd. Do you think, I mean, we'll get to Jack. Let's get to Mia next. I think Mia was she's so into the machinations, but you can see her work everywhere. She's sloppier about it than Lucia, I thought. Lucia was flawless. She was dripping with finesse. Everything she did, she got what she wanted in the end, and you didn't even see her sweat once. Whereas Mia, to me, was a hot mess. Even down to her makeup and her hair and everything, like, she did not have it together like Lucia. And she's kind of like, ooh, I'm going to figure out how to do what you do. I don't think she wants to. Her heart's not in it. She's having a hoe phase. And she's just having...
Well, no, but I don't even think she's having a hoe phase. I think she's like, I want to do what you do, but I don't... Like, she even said, like, I don't care about the money. I just want to sing. So she did figure out how to do what Lucia did, but just in her way.
What's so funny about that is you don't need to do that to sing. That's why it's so her character is so funny and weird to me, because you literally just need to be good at singing. You just got to show up and undercut the guy's prices. Like, that's all you have to do. Like,
well, except that in this hotel, her reputation was already sort of tarnished because she was known as being at least the friend of
But I mean, I don't know, she just was so weird to me. I think she's probably never gonna sleep with anyone again. She just kind of was like trying that persona on for size for a hot minute. You know, how old do you think they were supposed to be, like 23 or something? Like, do you think they went to college?
Yeah, mid-20s. No, I no, and I think that they were kind of showing like a very, like, did you watch it was on HBO as well, the what was it called? My Intelligent Friend or something. it was the Elena Ferrante book that they adapted to. Elena Ferrante wrote three books about these two women in Napoli in like the 60s or something. And
oh my God, that sounds so up my alley.
Yeah, it's very good. It has subtitles, but it's really worth watching, actually.
And was one of the characters in the first season reading one of the books? One of them was reading an Elena Ferrante book. Yeah, in the first season, they all had books, and no one in this season did.
My Beautiful Friend. I think that's what it was called. My Beautiful
Interesting.
Friend.
Interesting. We're going to have to look into that.
But it was like, I think what they were, because I also thought even when like Harper and Daphne went to Nodo, like with the scene where all the men were like staring at Harper or whatever, I think they're just showing that the cultural... That is, like, just the culture there where it's, like, a lot of horny men and, like, the women, like, this is, like, they get their power back by using sex and being an empowered prostitute, whereas the men are actually the marks, even though they seem like there's this, like, it's a masculine-dominated society where they actually are getting, they're having to... I don't know. I just thought they were showing the, I don't know. I don't think they went to college. I don't think that they were like upscale women necessarily, but I think they're showing like, well, this is a career. This is actually a path that really cool women might take if you're born in.
What sign do you think Mia is? I think it's really hard to tell because I think she was trying on a persona for this entire thing. And I think it's not who she really is. I think who she really is kind of, like, in the beginning, she's shy and she doesn't know what she's doing. And then at the end, she's at the piano and that's all she really cares about. So the whole interlude of trying sex work on for a week, I don't think she's going to continue with it. So what do you think? I don't know. I can't figure out what her sign really is. A boring one?
The two that I sort of flirted with were Taurus and Cancer again. Taurus and Pisces. And I think actually... From what you're saying, I would say perhaps she is another iteration of Pisces where it's sort of like she's sort of bullshit. She's doing whatever to try to get the thing that she wants. She's not being really authentic, though, but she can kind of dissociate and fuck someone or dissociate. But then it's like she's messy. She gets what drugs or what wrong. And then ultimately what she wants is to just like sing and play piano, and music is what she's there for. But also like even the delusion that
she's bad at it.
Really good. Well, that's what I'm saying, that like there's even a delusion that like she thinks she's really good, and that is sort of Piscean in many ways, to just be like, this is this, like in this, like in the same way that Sagittarius can, Pisces can also just be like, this is my truth and I'm sticking to it. And it's like,
okay. I could see her being a Pisces. She is truly just floating along, making it up as she goes.
Mm-hmm.
And she'll be a different person tomorrow probably, so whatever. How about Valentina? I loved her too, the manager of the hotel. She was, I just love any like really bitchy woman character who's just yelling at everyone. It's just really fun to watch.
Well, this threw me for a loop because the entire time she was in my mind obviously a Capricorn, but then it was her birthday and I'm like, oh, would that mean that it was the summer? So I think either way, I'm going to say Capricorn moon for sure.
Oh,
but
well,
then,
they don't think of that in shows.
Yeah, but like I actually like was going to, so this is Sicilian weather. Like, is it actually like a winter vacation spot or is it climate? Is the climate like
it's way warmer? Like it's really warm there. It's like Greece.
So it could have been winter.
It probably couldn't have been winter, but it could be shoulder season. It could be spring or fall, you know?
Hmm. Okay, so aside from that tidbit, I thought Capricorn.
Okay, why?
Like because first of all, boss bitch energy, pantsuits looking to the nines every day, upholding the rules, having the status in the hotel, but then ultimately her big gay secret or her, you know, she was so repressed and disconnected from her sexuality because I think that they were trying to sort of show us that it's not, you know, it's just not, I mean, I think we know that it's not the most gay friendly culture. Mm-hmm. So because it would be socially unacceptable, she was sexually repressed because being socially acceptable is the Capricorn way.
Yeah. That makes sense.
And following the rules of the society.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see her being a Virgo too, though, because she was
a
stickler.
Yeah, I thought, if anything, maybe Virgo sun, because it could be like it could be an August Virgo.
It could be September, too. It would be very warm in September in Sicily.
So, yeah, that's where I changed my things, because it's like, I don't really think Leo. I don't really think Cancer. I think Virgo sun, Capricorn moon, based on the information that it was her birthday, is what I would stick with. But I think she's
a lot of Earth.
I think she's Earth. Yeah, I think she's Earth. I mean, you're a lot of Earth.
That's true.
I think real recognized real.
It's difficile being a lot of Earth. I wouldn't wish it on my enemy. I guess we're reliable, though.
I mean, you're the best. You're the
But I'm also not that reliable because I'm a Pisces rising. Anyway, we don't need to talk about me.
Well, no, we'll talk about you another time, but I do think you are reliable. Look, what this show is ultimately all about and what podcasting is ultimately all about and partnering in any way is that to love people is actually just to know them. And you actually are extremely reliable, and the ways that you might say you're not reliable or whatever, at least in partnering with you, are highly predictable.
Like how?
You know, in the same way that Cameron and Daphne, like maybe he's not like the best partner, but it's like actually he is because she loves him and she knows him, therefore he's predictable.
Is it because I'm tired all the time?
No, it's because you think you're unproductive all the time, and therefore you actually are extremely productive, but sometimes when there's like bonus productivity things that are tacked on, I'm like, okay, we'll do that.
What do you mean?
Yeah. Like if it's like, okay, yeah, let's do like, it doesn't matter. We can talk about that, but it's like literally, yeah, if we just put on the calendar of like talk out the book, whether it's Patreon or not, it would just get done. But like, even if you want to beat yourself up about it, it actually isn't the number one priority of this week.
Oh yeah. I just get really overwhelmed all the time.
Which, well, because you're doing so much.
Okay. How about Portia? Speaking of people who are overwhelmed.
Also, side note, the other thing I want to say, though, in terms of your reliability. Okay, so we haven't done the Zooms about what a Leo is for the book yet. But when I opened that, when I opened the document, I was blown away. You've actually done a huge amount of work.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on it on your own time. So it's like, okay, so in terms of, like, the flowery way of doing it, it's like, okay, you didn't want to make an extra thing on the calendar. You're overwhelmed. But actually, when it comes down to it, you do work.
It is what I'm going to do. I'm like a mule.
I love. We love to see it. Thank you, mule. Thank you, mule.
But you do too.
So, yeah. Oh, thanks. In my own way. Yeah. In my own way. But, yeah, so anyway, I thought she was Virgo Capricorn.
Yeah, for sure. How about Portia? Poor little Portia. You think she's an Aquarius?
Total Aquarius. First of all, the way she was dressing, pure Aquarian vibes. She was dressing hella
weird. God.
And I actually she looked cool, but, like, she had, like, a poofy crop top. She had, like, a crocheted arm bikini, like, just arm, what would call that, like, an arm
bolero
shawl?
You know, it was a bolero.
She would dress in, like, a straight up Aquarian alien. Also, the fact that she kind of was, like, down for whatever and didn't really care that much about other people's feelings, and, like, kind of what, like, she was sort of emotionally disconnected. In, like, she was looking for some fun, she was looking for, like, adventure. But she wasn't, like, there wasn't a lot of emotionality from her other than that she was just kind of extravagant and trying to enjoy a trip where she had this, like, boss that was telling her to do shit, which an Aquarius doesn't like. Aquarius wants to kind of be their own boss. They don't really want, like, and even in that way, too, where her boss is like, here are the rules. You need to stay in your room or you need to whatever. And she was like, okay, but
yeah.
No.
And then in the last episode, Tanya's like, I get this assistant and then they end up bossing me around. And it's like, well, yeah, that's because you're a hot mess, but also it's because of who Portia is. Portia's outfits have become a huge joke online about how she's dressed like Lizzie McGuire all the time. Yeah. And, like, that last outfit that she was stuck in, oh, my God, it was tragic. And it also was very upsetting that she didn't get to wear a bra for, like, 2 days. And I felt so bad for her because she was stranded with this crazy guy and she had no bra on. She must have felt so vulnerable. A lot of the time, people just didn't have bras on.
Yeah, this wasn't heavy. I thought, yeah, I noticed Harper was sans bra a lot, and we did see a lot of Lucia's bits. So.
Well, Lucia, I understand. Harper, her character makes no sense not to have a bra on. It's very weird. One time I was on an HBO show. I was on The Deuce just as an extra. Like, I did some extra work when I was, like, in transition leaving the U.S. for London, and they didn't let me wear a bra either. So maybe it's an HBO thing.
They didn't let you?
They were like, oh, it's supposed to be the 70s, and we don't have period-appropriate undergarments, so no one can wear a bra. And I was like, so I'm just flailing all day? Like, it was just not – it was not a very tight dress that I had on. It was very uncomfortable.
Let me just say this, though. It does make the larger point – not to beat a dead horse, but read the Balenciaga campaign. If you're in a show as an extra in the 70s and the undergarments aren't 70s, everybody is watching every detail on every set ever.
I know. Or it's HBO and they just want some extra nips for their buck.
Could be both.
Yeah, exactly. Because, like, I guess they don't want, like, a Victoria's Secret thing, like, popping out the side. Because, yeah, like, the bra shapes do change, you know, like, over the decades. Like, it would have been a little pointier in the 70s. So, but if I had known that, I would have bought a friggin' 70s bra. It was so awkward to walk around all day talking to people you've never met before with your, like, hard nipples just protruding.
Very
it's very weird. It's uncomfortable for me. I don't like that. Yeah.
Maybe it's, like, a tactic to get, like, the extras, like, to, like, speed up their comfort level of acting, like, acting natural in the background. It's like, well, hey, if you're all just thrown into the deep end of, well, now we see all of our hard nips, like, well, it does bring the walls down a little bit.
Okay, so Portia Aquarius. I don't know if I feel this, because I don't think she's that capable of an assistant.
She's not, but I don't think an Aquarius would be a very good assistant. An Aquarius is kind of doing their own thing.
Yeah.
They're like, don't boss me around. I'm, like, writing code in my head.
Yeah, that's true. She is really weird. And she just kind of like, yeah, she was kind of detached from Albie. Like, you would have noticed that this guy was obsessed with you and done something about it instead of just kind of brushing him off. But...
Right, you might have said something. You might have been like, hey, for the record, I like think we should be friends, but I'm not feeling this. Like, even just to like make out with someone in his face is so mean. Like, it's so careless. Cruel.
And yeah. It was not very Aquarian to fall for the whole Jack thing.
Yes, except that I think that he was sort of like, okay, so in my mind, I was like, okay, so if she's an Aquarius, then like, I feel like Aquarius and Sagittarius, like, I was like, okay, so at first I was like, okay, he's fire. He's all fire. Like, just like fun, like either Leo or Sagittarius, where he's just like, you know, just party bro, like ultimate party bro, you know. I think Aquarians absolutely can get into like romance or get into like an affair, but it's like he wasn't like super romantic with her. It was more like I thought it was super exciting. Yeah. And that he was like so exciting, where again it wasn't that emotional for her. She was just like, whoa, like this is a huge blast
right.
of energy.
I'm bored on this work trip and I'm right. kind of sick of hanging out with this guy and his grandfather and his dad. Here's the hot Essex geezer, so I'm gonna go out mm-hmm. with him instead. Yeah that makes sense. Also, he's just a con artist, and I think a lot of the time,
right.
you know, you're just susceptible to good con artists, no matter what your sign is.
Well, but also, like, was he a con artist, or actually, like, was he a prostitute? Like, I thought he was a prostitute who was getting paid not only to buttfuck whatever his name was.
His uncle, Quentin.
Quentin, he was, I don't think it was his uncle, I think it was his prostitute, and he was getting paid to butt fuck Quentin, but also that he was working for Quentin, and so when Quentin said get this girl out of here for the next 2 days, that was his job. I thought he was just hired help.
Yeah. So what do you,
but I don't know what sign. I mean, I sort of feel like, I don't know, what do you think for Jack?
My backstory for him in my head is that he's just a floater and he got into trouble, and that's how he ended up getting stuck with these guys. Because he says to her, like, these are dangerous, powerful people. Like, he owes them yeah. something. He accidentally, like, went too far with something, whether it was a gambling debt or maybe he's, you know, off the streets and had to become a sex worker kind of thing. Like, he's in too mm-hmm. deep with these really scary guys and he doesn't know what else to do. And he's not necessarily a bad person. So I was thinking maybe if he was a Pisces, he just would have got whacked. Based on whatever mm-hmm. debt he owed.
Yeah, I don't think he was a Pisces. I think he could be a Gemini just because he can sort of yes. like grift around and turn on and off his, like the same thing that you see in
Lucia. Yeah.
Lucia, I could see for him, you know, like
they
just
are
sort
mirror images of each other, to the point that they both got Portia and Albie off of each other. Like they're both the
right.
like con artists that. Like, even though I don't think any sign is more susceptible to falling for a con artist necessarily, I think there's a sign that's susceptible to being one, and that is a Gemini.
Right. I think even the, like, yeah, the poetry of having two Gemini, like, the mirror Gemini card artist, I think is actually, I think that really
yeah,
works.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, again, like, he sort of isn't, he's not really tapped into his emotions as much as, like, he does know the story of I got into some shit and I got out of some shit and I'm not an asshole, but I'm also not falling in love with you or anybody. And so just, like, grift away. I'm going to grift
right.
my way.
And he's still having fun. You can't fake that level of fun. Like, him and Lucia are both
oh, no,
having
a blast.
The time of their lives, you know?
100%.
Yeah. Like, Lucia also, I think part of the reason why she doesn't get the money up front is because she just wants to stay in the hotel. And she just wants, like, the drinks and a little bit of the highlight.
Right.
And, like, she's 100%. Okay with them kind of paying her off in installments because as long as that's happening, she's allowed to stay and, like, lurk around these gorgeous hotels. Like, she's probably done this
totally.
Everywhere in the area, and this is, like, just the next one on her list, you know? And, like, that's why she's kind of a little bit less of a stickler for you need to pay me up front because she's having fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, she just wants someone
yeah,
to
Yeah, she's on vacation, too.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, what did you think Quentin was?
I didn't even think about him for 2 seconds.
So actually, now I'm just regretting this because we're obviously just casting the whole show. Like, to me, it was clearly Gemini. He says, life is one long distraction. He's a huge advocate for distraction. He says to her at the beginning, tell me everything. Then he flips on her. I don't know. I thought I thought he was Gemini.
I think he could be a Scorpio because he was so adept at playing the long game, which I don't think that Lucia or Jack was, because they were more...
No, it was much more transactional.
Yeah, transactional. Whereas with Quentin, I mean, there has to be an easier way to get money for your house than fucking befriending this woman, distracting her assistant, and throwing her off a boat.
Well, I don't think that he befriended... No, no, no. I thought the whole thing was a setup. I think he and Greg... I think that picture of Greg... Right.
But they had to befriend...
Is the whole story.
They had to befriend her to gain her trust, to get her out of the boat.
I mean, in that way,
enough,
though...
You know?
I could see him actually being a Capricorn, where it's like long game, high end, all everything is to save the house, the property, the, you know, we have tickets to the ballet. It's like a very high end grift, all to save the facade. Mm-hmm. And it is like when he's saying, like, I don't know about like romantic love, but I do know about like companionship and fucking. And it's like, it is sort of a Capricorn would, like, even though we know it, like, deep down, they actually are very emotional. It takes one to know one. Here we are. But actually, like, Capricorns do whatever they can in general to, like, not go there. They are emotional, but they're actually on purpose, like, refocusing all of that into work or, like, getting the job done. Like, we don't have time for feelings.
Yeah. And all of his friends were also in on the facade as well. Like, DDA.
Right. So he was really, like, a mob boss. Like, he was sort of like a... Like, he was like eater. So, yeah, I would say, like, maybe Capricorn.
Yeah, they were, like, twisted old world queer eye.
Yeah. Now that's a show I would watch.
100%. Okay. Capricorn with overtones of Scorpio, I think it's safe to say.
Yeah.
Because like he everything he is doing is so in the background. And like a Capricorn.
Yeah, like I
you would be more acceptable, more, you know, what's the word? It's getting late and I have a headache. What is the word? Palatable to the public.
Palatable. Yeah, like I think he's like Gemini rising, Capricorn sun, Scorpio moon.
Gemini rising, Capricorn sun, Scorpio moon.
Or Scorpio sun, Capricorn moon. But I think those are the three that like really articulate his character.
I find that satisfactory. One thing that people were asking online was why did they bother getting her to the house for 2 days? And why did they bother getting her to sleep with Niccolo, the mob guy?
Because Niccolo was going to kill her on the little tiny boat on the way back.
So you think it was just to gain trust so that she would be willing to get on the boat with Niccolo? Yeah.
Yes. And it was also like a way to entice her to... I think that... Well, I guess, though, the only thing that doesn't totally make sense is that if ultimately what they were after is her money... They would have needed more. Like, I thought it wasn't going to be kill her. I thought it was going to be basically, like, romance her into. Because, like, what she says is, like, it's so nice to be rich people. They don't want my money. I thought they were going to, like, seduce her into then asking for her money in some way.
Yeah. Or,
you know.
Or get her to cheat on him so that it nullifies the prenup.
Right. Or get her to cheat on him. Right. Okay. Yeah. So it either nullifies the prenup or also that, you know, that they could blackmail her and whatever.
Yeah. So it was just an insurance policy, really. So.
Yeah. But then I think when she saw the picture of young Greg is when she started to be like, okay,
that
fuck.
That was a mistake. Yeah. That was the only thing where I was like, why would this guy have this picture lying around? He's no fool. And he lives in this house with the most like perfectly selected art on the walls. What's he got this Brokeback Mountain ass photo doing here? And I also didn't think it was Greg. I did not notice that until I saw people talking about it online. And then she said it in this episode. Like when they showed the photo in the last episode, that didn't resonate for me that it was him at all.
It wasn't that I was clear about it, but I was curious. I'm like, what does she think is weird about this? And then she says it like, that looks like Greg.
Yeah, exactly. So...
But then it's like, okay, so what, at the beginning when Greg is, like, pretending to go to Denver and he's like, okay, I love you. Like, I think it was all about an alibi, too. So it was like he was, quote-unquote, in Denver. And then she was away on this boat. And so whatever happened to her, he was not, he was like officially not there.
Yeah, plausible deniability.
Mm-hmm. Although, yeah, you're right. I don't know what the actual, I kind of want to rewatch now. Maybe there's more of a story, or maybe it's just like a TV show and they kind of figured out how to end it, you know, because I don't know what the, but I do wonder, yeah, what the actual goal from the beginning of Greg was. Right. Did he mean to kill her, or did he mean to just blackmail her, or just seduce her into giving, like, or having his lover seduce her with his lifestyle to actually get the money somehow.
Yeah, you also don't know how far these guys got into the mob stuff accidentally. Like, maybe they did just want to blackmail her. And then when they bring in Niccolo, he finds out how much money she has. And he's like, oh, we're not blackmailing her. We're killing this bitch. And you're giving me a much bigger cut than you originally said. And if you don't, then I'm killing you, because he's in the mob.
Well, and actually, yeah, right. And actually, they would have wanted to kill her because she was married to Greg. So if she dies, Greg gets the money.
Right. But like, they could have wanted a smaller cut and just do blackmail. Like, maybe these guys aren't killers. You know, like, maybe the gay guys are not killers. It would be.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying? And then they just, because they called in a mob guy to do the dirty part, then they got in over their heads. And now the mob guy is forcing them to kill her, you know?
Right, because clearly Niccolo is not part of their gay guy, queer eye.
Right, and even, like, the boat captain seemed horrified. Like, he didn't realize that was what was going to happen. So that's what I think, like, it could be, because, like I said, the theme of the season is who's getting played, who's getting scammed. What bigger scam is going on in the background that we don't know about? So, like, that seems plausible to me. I don't think these guys are getting their hands that dirty that they're fucking murdering people to keep these houses up.
Right, they just want their money to keep the estate going and to keep their ballet tickets or their opera tickets.
They're like, let's blackmail with the video. Ooh, I have to post about this on Twitter because everyone's talking about it. And I can be like, I cracked it, bitches.
Link it to the pod. Welcome, new listeners from Molly's Twitter. We're really glad you're here.
Okay, I think this is a good
time for bed.
This is a good place to end it. I'm sorry. I'm always saying that it's time for bed. It's because of our time difference.
We have a huge time difference. I know. Yeah, you guys, just so you know, Molly's not midday siestaing every time we talk. It's late there.
Yeah.
And actually, that's perfect. I have a client now anyway, and then I'll post.
We don't even have to edit this.
Nope.
You can even leave in Captain Save-A-Ho, because you know what? It's an expression.
We didn't write it.
I stole it from someone.
Ha 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 ha, you're a grifter in your own right.
Exactly. Okay, join, what is it? Patreon.com.
Patreon.
I was going to say podcast.com. Patreon.com/spacetrashpodcast. And you can hear our deepest thoughts about Meghan and Harry's new TV show, which is coming out again. There's a new trailer that came out, too.
I saw the new trailer. What did you think of the new trailer?
They're always slippery. Like, they're deliberately confusing the timeline of, like, oh, our location has leaked. We have our security being stripped from us. And that's when they're already in Canada. Then they show him on the Freedom flight, which is the private jet to Canada. Like, they're making it seem like their security was stripped from them while they were in the UK and their location was leaked while they were in the UK. And it's like, no.
Well, and I thought that was interesting because, like, even you guys can hear it on the Patreon, highly recommend. But when I was editing back out, it's like, I think the issue that Harry, I think there's an issue for Harry where he is confusing the, like, he talks about, like, protecting William, protecting my brother over protecting me. And it's like, no, he's not your brother. It's protecting the future king and protecting the monarchy. And it isn't that
I'm
personal.
I'm so glad you brought that up because I was thinking that too, but it's so easily disproven when you look at Charles versus Diana. The press loved her and they bashed the shit out of him because she's more likable. And that was it. She sold more papers. And like the real reason why I think Harry and Meghan, you know, they had a rough time of it. Every new person that marries in has a rough time of it. It's not always the same. Sometimes it's worse. Sometimes it's better. It would have ended and it would have gotten better again. And like they really just didn't wait for it to end and get better. They left and that's their prerogative. That's what they decided to do. But like there was a time when William and Kate were the punching bag.
Totally. Right. Right. It's like as if like William and Kate have been like, oh, so protected. It's like, no, people have run free rein on them too.
Yeah. They're just now they are more popular and that doesn't sell. That's all it really comes down to. And what sells is look at this American, and also the racist stuff obviously sells to an extent as well. So like that's really what it has to do with. It's not because there's some plot in the background to save the monarchy, because if there was, then the tabloids wouldn't write anything negative about them. About any of them.
Well, I thought they were. Yeah, but I thought he was saying it was like the people in the monarchy were protecting William over him. And it's like, no, at the end of the day, the media is going to, or like the press is going to do what the press is going to do.
Exactly.
Everybody's in business needs to sell papers. But that if you feel like it's you versus William and then he has the backing of the whole firm or the whole family, it's actually because he has a job title that is higher ranking than you. And it isn't about William or Harry. And it is about the fact that you have different roles.
Right.
In this
why
family.
the actual courtiers are protecting him more. Yeah. Not right. The media. Right. The media, if they had confirmation right. that he cheated, it would be out tomorrow. It would
1,000%.
And if it wasn't out in the UK press, because they do have a bit more, they have quite a lot more legal control over British press. It's easier to sue here. Then it would be in American papers or French papers.
Right. That's news we would
yeah,
love.
Everyone would want it. Everyone. So like yeah. There is no universe where like the media is getting scoops about William and sitting on them to protect the monarchy. Are the people in the palace doing it? Maybe, but I don't know. I don't know if they're. You also have to remember when they make these allegations about people leaking to the media, they were literally caught doing that in a court of law, leaking about the book Finding Freedom. They got caught lying, not just leaking, but lying to the court about leaking.
It hurts.
So, I know. They all do it.
They don't want to know.
They all play this game. So it's just really disingenuous to pretend like, yeah, the palace is more powerful. They have more of a media machine behind them. And it would be absolutely terrifying to go up against that for sure. But like they did it too. They all do it. They all do it. I'm excited for this week. But also it could turn out to be a nothing burger, because this last week was also a nothing burger. What did we learn about a Snapchat filter? You know?
I learned that Megan is just like you and me.
She's not just like you and me.
And I like her for it.
She's just like a lot of girls. She's an honor roll student.
Let's take a minute. She is not like us. She is a better student than us. And she is a nerd, actually.
Yeah.
That's what I learned.
She's a better student than us for everything except for the British monarchy. Because that
right. We might have actually just shut the fuck up and known our role and been fine with it.
Yeah. I don't know. Would we have?
Yeah. Capricorns? Give me the money. Give me good press. Give me some outfits to wear. And I'm happy to shut
personal
the
trainer.
Up. Definitely.
Salmon.
Got a list of
salmon
things.
Salmon steamed broccoli. I'm in.
Certainly. I want a separate fridge of seltzer.
Yeah.
But if you can meet my rider royals, yeah, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll be the patsy. I'll be the jack of the royals anytime.
I
know.
Also, crucially, like I mean, for me, like I went through like a time when I felt as a kid bullied and like my privacy was taken away from me. So like I feel like maybe I would have a different perspective on it. Whereas I think. Mm-hmm. Like Megan, because she was an honor roll student, because she was this perfectionist who was like hell bent at succeeding at everything and having the most perfect image at all times since she was a kid, like she's always had that perfect image. Like everyone did always love her. So then like when she got into a position of enough power where people started questioning her and trying to peel back the facade, she imploded and freaked out. And it's understandable.
Well, and I think that's why when you're going like, we didn't learn anything new here. It's not about learning anything new. It's about the fact I think she's really fucking bothered that she's like, I mean, she says it, but it's like, no, there's nothing new about the story. But I do think that her as the narrator makes her feel like, okay, at least I at least there's a version out there that I got to pen in whatever
right.
way.
Other
like,
than
I don't think
Oprah,
she likes that anybody is making her story be anything. Yeah, but even with
other
Oprah,
than the book they collaborated on, other than the podcast that has now 6 hours.
Yeah, but I think that. Yeah, but at the end of the day, they need money. They have
right,
a business.
Exactly.
They have to actually make money. I think this was fun for her because not only is she very comfortable being on camera, but yeah, I think she is a storyteller and is like, yeah, set a camera up and give me a few hours to tell you what I think are the things I'm really proud about my love story.
Yeah, totally. For sure.
I would do it for whatever. I would do it for $100, let alone $100,000. I get it.
Yeah. Same. Me too.
We're doing this shit for free. $5 for the Patreon. Join now, everybody. LOL.
I know. But that's the other thing where, like, it grates on me. The first question they ask them on camera, why are you doing this? To pay the mortgage.
To pay the
16 bathroom
to afford
mortgage.
To live.
Like,
right.
That's why.
We're doing this to tell our story for
right.
money.
Or to settle scores with the British royal family, which I'm sure is extremely right. tempting as well. Like,
absolutely appropriate
it's
answer.
It's not, you know, oh, we literally just want everyone to know how much we love each other. Like,
but I do think that is a takeaway that there is nowhere in the current media sphere that I agree that until now their love story has not been done justice. And I now understand that they love each other in a way that I never did.
I thought it was pretty clear that they were like had some serious chemistry and were obsessed with each other. To implode their lives like they both did, hers first, then his.
Yeah, but Harry's such a rebel. Like, I think the implosion was imminent no matter
yeah,
what because
true.
He's an imploder.
He is an imploder. And he gets that from his Spencer side of the family, I would say.
Indeed. Indeed, he is his mother's son.
And his uncle's nephew. His
Which one?
You're getting creeped out because of the uncle in White Lotus.
All the uncles. Well, no. And also Uncle Andrew.
Oh, yeah. No, not him. He is, well, maybe.
And the uncle, between the uncle in White Lotus and Uncle Andrew, uncles have not had a good showing
yeah,
this
it's
episode.
It's a bad week to be an uncle. Well, you know, when they told that story of going to Royal Lodge and curtsying for the queen, that's Andrew's house.
Oh.
When they talk about, oh, Fergie and Eugenie were helping me, blah, blah, blah. Andrew was probably right there.
Beatrice and Eugenie were there. They're real cousins. Like, they really did grow up with them and are still
yeah,
friends with them.
That little, yeah.
Which was nice to see, actually, where I was like, okay, yeah, like, they are, human with social and familial
connections. Yeah, it's cute and endearing. And it really is. But yeah, like, they've never said a bad thing about Andrew. And they love trashing their family. So it's like, what a slam dunk that they're just not taking advantage of. I mean, let's see if it comes out in these three episodes. I'm really interested in seeing that.
Yeah, that would be okay. Yeah, so yeah, everybody check out the first three episodes and then check out our Patreon review of it and add your comments in the chat. Let's get a dialogue going. And then we'll be back. When's the next one come out? This
Thursday.
Week? Next week? Okay, well, then we'll be back. LOL, probably Friday or Saturday, because we will be racing to our screens. Molly will be tweeting it live or something for job. LOL. So yeah, either way, we'll be on top of it, and we can't wait to get all your hot takes on the second part of Harry and Meghan as well. But until then, that was White Lotus. That was part one of Meghan and Harry. Oh, and wait, one other thing I want to say real quick. Celine Dion being diagnosed with stiff person syndrome. It's like, I could have told you. I could have diagnosed, lol, she is a stiff person. No. Like, you know, she's...
I think it's just called being Canadian.
Ah! Are you sure we can't keep this?
Okay, keep it as an Easter egg. This is what you get when you stay to the end.
This is what you get when you stay to the end. Folks.
Because Spotify likes it when you have a high completion rate. So we do save our most off-color stuff for the end. Excluding last week when we said the R word 30 times.
We did lead with...
We did. But we were quoting Kirstie Alley. What are we going to do?
It was journalism.
Yeah. And it was just such an interesting look at how the social mores have changed since that book was written, when it was also not okay to say the R word 50 times.
And the kind of art that Woody Harrelson ultimately...
I know. Oh, my God. He was in the news for something this week, and it was the only thing I could think about.
Yeah, I actually had that thought, too. Well, yeah. What was he there for?
I think he's
I
in like, a new oh, movie but... coming out.
Yeah. It's just, yeah, that what a funny memory that we all get to share now. So if you haven't listened to that episode, check back on the Kirstie Alley review of her life. We read the first chapter of her book, and it is LOL offensive.
I got no feedback on that, by the way. Not a single person was like, that was interesting. So either no one listened to it or everyone was horrified by us.
Okay, well, please let us know what you guys thought of that R-slur episode.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.